Stu Does America.
Happy Bitcoin 67,000 day for those who celebrate. Hey, don't forget, Super Tuesday is tomorrow. Make sure you have a handle on everything you need to know by checking out a brand new edition of State of the Race. We'll have one for you tomorrow morning. It's a free podcast series. You can find it under the Stu Does America feed wherever you get your podcasts first thing in the morning. Whew, lot to listen to, lot to deal with over the next couple of weeks. We have the State of the Union this week. Special Blaze TV coverage is coming up as well. Lots of stuff to talk about as we go forward here in the next week. We have a brand new and extremely important piece up on YouTube right now. It exposes a scandal involving Karine Jean-Pierre that nobody is talking about. Check it out at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel while you're there and click the bell for notifications. Drew Holden is going to join us today to give us a tale of media complicity and China that you won't believe. The U.S. is now airdropping aid into Gaza. I've got the latest on that. But we start by doing Biden's poll-pocalypse. Yes, we are here in the middle of the poll-pocalypse. I feel like I've done this show several times. I got to be honest with you. And I feel like every time I do this monologue, I think to myself, this is as bad. We have to do this because this is as bad as it's going to get. And I want to make sure that people understand, you know, like we mark each important, you know, transition in the election. And this is probably the low point. And then it gets worse. And then I do the monologue again. And then we talk about these same things. And I just sit here like flabbergasted, not because I want Joe Biden to win or even get one single vote. He's a terrible president. But just from the perspective of just like general political like competence, I can't believe all of this is happening. It's like I don't want the Dallas Cowboys to ever win a football game. But like when they do something really stupid on the field, you just say to yourself, like, gosh, like, why don't they just do this or this or this? You have to, I mean, you almost watch it as a sports like fan and just like look at what the Biden administration and their campaign is doing. And you're just like, well, why would they do it like this? I don't understand. Let me give you some of the details here. We start, of course, with the Biden versus Trump. The looming rematch hits a kickoff moment. And they're talking about this week. You got the State of the Union. You got Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday will obviously do, it's a foregone conclusion at this point, will give Donald Trump basically the nomination. He'll need a few more delegates here or there to finalize things, but despite Nikki Haley's big win in D.C. this weekend, there's not a challenge really coming from that side. So this is basically over as a normal primary. It's been over for weeks. We've talked about that for a while, but this does kind of, you really transition after Super Tuesday into general election mode. And we will see if all the things that the Democrats are hoping will come through, the legal challenges, the kind of shifting gears into full general election mode to go after Trump, are going to turn these numbers around. So far, none of it's worked, if that's what they've been trying to do. And we have a new poll from CBS, and there's something interesting about the CBS poll. I'll give it to you here in a second. CBS News poll finds voters remember Trump's economy is good, boosting Trump's to national lead over Biden today. Now, of course, the election isn't today, but it is important to know these numbers. Trump, well, how would you rate their presidency? Was it excellent or good? 46% say good for Trump, and only 33% say the same for Biden. That's not good if you're Biden. How's the economy under Trump? 65% remember it as good. For Joe Biden, it's 38%. You don't want to be trailing by 27 points if you can help it. It's not good for Biden. Policies will make prices go up. Biden, 55%. Trump, 34%. Again, big lead for Donald Trump. This is bad for Joe Biden. What about fighting for people like you? Well, Trump actually leads. Now, again, Donald Trump is a billionaire who lives in a gold, you know, he lives in multiple gold mansions. Does he fight for people like you? He's beating Joe Biden by 6. This is Lunchbox Joe we're talking about. This is Pennsylvania Joe, the guy who's he's an everyman. Remember? Remember when people told you that? What about a vision for the country? Do you have a vision for the country? Biden, only 50% believe that. Trump, 63%. And on and on and on and on and on. And in fact, he's down by, I think, now, if you want to take one negative thing here for Trump, all these numbers are absolutely catastrophic for Joe Biden. But at the very end, you know, the last page here, choice for president. I don't know if you can read that. Donald Trump, 52, Joe Biden, 48. You might say, well, why is that bad for Trump? He's up by 4 points. Yeah, he's up by 4 points. That's not a lot. Considering what I just read to you, you'd like that to be an 8 or a 10-point lead. A 4-point lead isn't bad. It's, by the way, as good as it has ever been for Donald Trump. And I don't mean in the 2024 election. I mean ever. In any presidential election, including the one he actually won, he has never had polling as good as he does right now. That is a really important thing to understand. It's really good for Donald Trump. But even with all of this in his favor, he's only up by 4 points in this poll. And the average is only about 2 points right now. That can make you a little nervous if you happen to be a Donald Trump supporter or just like the country. So next up, voters are doubting Biden's leadership and favoring Trump in the Time Siena poll. And that was what, one of the things that was interesting about the CBS poll is it was absolutely catastrophic for Joe Biden, but it wasn't the worst one of the weekend. The New York Times one is even worse because there are some things you can control. There are some things you can turn. There are some things you cannot control. There are some things you are a victim of with really no way of attacking and making better. And that is what the New York Times Siena poll tells. And just to let you know why this is important, the CBS News poll is important. It's a mainstream poll. They'll look at that. But the New York Times Siena poll is a different animal. The New York Times Siena poll is ranked the number one pollster out of all pollsters by 538. They are a highly respected firm. They do a very good job explaining why they do certain things in their polls and why they don't. And you might not agree with every one of their decisions, but generally speaking, they are highly respected. And when I say highly respected, it doesn't matter whether you respect them or not. I hate to say that. It doesn't matter if I respect them or not. It doesn't matter. The left really respects them. They respect them as the gold standard among national pollsters. And so when they see results like this, it hits them at their core. These conversations happen behind closed doors. Everybody in D.C. is talking about this today. And they are, of course, we're going to see where this leads. But it is catastrophic. First of all, we'll give you the presidential results, top line results. Trump 48, Biden 43. Again, a 5-point lead. You'd like it to be better if you're Donald Trump, honestly, with the undercurrent of this election. You'd like it to be more than 5 points. But to put that in perspective, it's as good as Donald Trump has ever been in any of his elections. In fact, this is the best result he has ever received in a New York Times poll when he's running for president. Now, a 5-point lead might not sound like an insurmountable lead. It's basically within the margin of error, but still, it is a massive lead for Donald Trump. And again, as a polarizing figure, it's hard to build large leads. You know, if you're super well-liked and you come in with an 80% approval rating, you can have a lead of 10, 12 points. You can't do that when your approval rating is 45%. But Joe Biden is more like 35%, and Joe Biden is, you know, only behind by 5. That does show the opposition to Donald Trump is real. That's not a media narrative. That is real. A lot of people really do not like Donald Trump. That being said, his position right now is very, very strong. Now, what comes closer to how you feel about Joe Biden or Donald Trump being the nominee for president? Well, Biden, 23% of people are enthusiastic about it. And this is among his own voters, by the way. 43% are satisfied but not enthusiastic. And that's really important. 26% are dissatisfied but not upset. And 6% are angry. Trump's profile is totally different. 48%, almost more than double Joe Biden's percentage, are enthusiastic about these results. 32% say satisfied but not enthusiastic. And so you're at about 80% are of the top two categories for Trump, about 66% for Biden. So a massive gap there. Now, dissatisfied but not upset, only 9% for Trump. And Trump actually has a higher percentage of Republicans that are angry about that. But we know that voting base has been out there. You know, you want to call them the never Trumpers, if you will. 9% Trump. Only 6% are never Bideners, I guess, in Democratic circles. Now, those things are top line numbers. They're somewhat fixable. Like, if you can turn narratives around, you can win. Like, I mean, George H.W. Bush is always the greatest example of this. George H.W. Bush, after the Iraq invasion, had massive approval ratings. He looked like he was a shoo-in to be reelected. But then a very minor recession kicked in, and that was enough to shake the country and say, okay, now they're going the other direction, and Bill Clinton was elected. So, you know, these things can turn around, but not everything can turn around. For example, unless you come up with some major scientific discovery or flux capacitor, you're not going to make Joe Biden any younger. And that is and remains his biggest challenge in this election. Look at these splits. It's incredible. They asked, is this candidate too old to be an effective president? Donald Trump had 21% said he was too old to be an effective president. Another 21% said they kind of somewhat agree, to make up 42% of the electorate. For Joe Biden, it's much, much worse. 47% say they strongly agree that he is too old to be effective. And another 26% say they somewhat agree. Add those two up, you're at 73% of voters say he can't be an effective president. How do you win an election when that is the case? How? I mean, they can only depend on people hating Donald Trump more than they care about having an effective president. Those are the dice you want to roll? Those are the dice you want to roll? If you're Joe Biden, if you're the Democratic Party going up against this Hitlerian candidate, that's scary if you happen to be a Democrat. There's another measure on this, and I didn't pull the graphic for it, but it's an incredible one. That was not effective. The next question was, are they too old to even be capable of doing the job? Not capable came out. Biden, 45% of voters said he's not capable of doing the job. 19% of voters said the same about Donald Trump. What about age makes him ineffective, but still he can handle the job? 26% Biden, 21% Trump. These are catastrophic numbers for Joe Biden. How about the policy side of it? Well, have Trump's policies or Biden's policies helped you personally? 40% say Trump's policies have done that. Only 18% say Biden's policies have done that. How about if they've hurt you personally? Well, 43% of voters said Biden's policies have hurt them personally. Only 25% said Trump's policies had hurt them personally. And if you look at the breakdowns, they're no better. I mean, it's catastrophic. I'll give you a quick glimpse at them here. But you see the 40 to 18 split as whether Trump's policies have helped you personally. Every single gender, men, women, white, black, Hispanic, 18 to 29, 30 to 44, 45 to 64, 65 plus, all of them favor Donald Trump. This shouldn't be happening if you're Joe Biden. You're an incumbent, okay? You're going against a historically unpopular president that Donald Trump was. And yet here you are losing like this. This is catastrophic. Politico has a piece, four reasons the latest polls are awful for Biden. They talk about his age, physical, mental capacity. They say despite months of good economic news and long shot soft landing from post-pandemic inflation. I don't know what they're talking about with this. And I keep saying this stuff as if it's fact, but I don't know. Americans don't seem to see it. Americans can't seem to shake the feeling that the economy is in rough shape. Nearly three quarters, 74% of those in the Times poll said the economy today is in poor or only fair shape, while 26% said it was good or excellent. They go on to mention the economy, the head-to-head numbers, but also immigration. And I bring the immigration part of this up. I've obviously talked about this a lot over the past few months, but one of the reasons why the immigration thing is so significant for Republicans is if you can't win a presidential election in this climate, when are you going to win? You have a terrible president who's unpopular, seen as completely senile by a lot of voters. About half of voters basically say he can't even do the job. He's incapable of doing the job. The word they were asked about was incapable. And 45% said, oh, yeah, that's Joe Biden. And the number one area of concern for voters is illegal immigration. And yet, you can't win this election? If that is the answer we come up with in November, the entire, whatever they're trying to do with the Republican Party needs to be torn down completely. It's not working. If you can't win in this environment, you will never be able to win. Kamala Harris is calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And why this is interesting is because, look, there's a couple ways to read this. Let me give it to you first. She said, what we are seeing every day in Gaza is devastating. We've seen reports of families eating leaves or animal feed, women giving birth to malnourished babies with little or no medical care, and children dying from malnutrition and dehydration. As I have said many times, too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. And then she went on to say something very, very important. Listen.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, There must be an immediate ceasefire. For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table.
I like how she just, after they all start cheering, for at least 6 weeks. There's a couple ways of looking at this. When I first heard it, I'll tell you about that in a second. The normal way to think about this is Kamala Harris is basically telling you what the administration wants to do, but Joe Biden can't say it, right? Joe Biden can't say an immediate ceasefire is necessary. He's talking with Israeli leaders. They don't want that necessarily, although they would certainly do it for hostages at some level. But they can't really, Joe Biden can't be seen saying that. So they send out Kamala to say it, to signal to their Democratic voters, hey, we're really with you on this. Now, the reason you do that, of course, is these polls, right? There's large weakness. And look, it's true that it's not just younger voters and not just voters who are off of the Biden bandwagon because of Israel, but it is a big part of it. And when you look at, you know, this messaging, they're saying, oh, hey, guys, you know, you guys keep telling everybody you're leaving us. We want the ceasefire, too. Look at Kamala just said it. That's one number one to look at it. But you wonder how approved this was. Did she go off script at all with this? I don't know. I don't think so. But it's possible that she knows the power of the party right now, at least the energy of the party, is with the sort of AOC left. And she's trying to signal, hey, make the case for me right now. These polls are terrible. Everyone knows this guy, Joe Biden, might lose. So why not switch it out to good old Kamala? And like that does solve the problem of how do you get around Kamala? Well, you could just pick Kamala. And you think, well, should you? She's really unpopular. In fact, even more unpopular than Joe Biden. And of course, that's true. But I made this case to you. I made this case on the Megyn Kelly show earlier today, and I made it to you before as well. Kamala does solve your biggest issue, and that issue is age. Yes, she's terrible. Yes, she makes lots of word salad, but so does Joe Biden. It's not like Joe Biden's good and Kamala Harris is bad, and you're like, oh, well, she's going to make things much worse. They're both equally terrible in different ways, but the difference is you would at least solve the age issue, and you would get glowing coverage from the media about her being the first, you know, Black, Asian American woman of color, person of color, or whatever the term they're using for today is. You'd get all that coverage, you'd at least have a chance, and then at the very least, if you lose, you've at least rid yourself of the Kamala Harris problem long term. Not to mention, you know, you can keep those the left of the party under control. And, you know, it's at least something they should be thinking about. Of course, you'd need Joe Biden's buy-in, and I don't see any reason to believe that is going to happen. Each Biden poll is making things worse and making a switch like this more realistic. As a person who has money on the fact that Joe Biden will be the nominee, I'm not exactly excited by that. And I do think it's anybody other than Joe Biden has a better chance of winning this election than Joe Biden does. And that's a major problem. You need Joe Biden on board. You can't just unseat him. There's no real path for that unless he actually has a health problem. But you want to have him have a fake health problem? You want to have him kind of like, oh, I got to go deal with my family stuff. They've really been persecuting my son, Hunter. He's now back in rehab. If that's the little concoction they want to come up with to make the switch, they can still do it. They absolutely can. And honestly, if I were them, I would. You know the best thing to bring with you wherever you go? Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycons offer amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. If you don't believe me, then check out the tens of thousands of five-star reviews. Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears to actually stay there. Raycons have 8 hours of playtime, 32 hours of battery life, and you can count on them whenever you need them. Like, for example, when you happen to be at a Little League tournament. Your son's Little League tournament that we left the house at 8 a.m. and I returned at 9:30 p.m. yesterday. Now, though, good news, they made the championship. Bad news, they lost, unfortunately. But they did have a very long day of baseball yesterday. You know what I had in my ears? My Raycons. I was able to listen to podcasts, audiobooks, all sorts of great stuff. I was able to prepare for today's programming as well as just enjoy myself a little bit because Raycons are fantastic. Go to buyraycon.com/stu. Get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. You get 20% off, free shipping right now, buyraycon.com. BuyRayCon. Buyraycon.com/stew. Buyraycon.com/stew.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
I'm happy to welcome Drew Holden back to the program. He's a staff writer for the Washington Free Beacon. You can be sure to check out his recent piece. Some of the same news outlets warning about disinformation are taking millions to print Chinese propaganda. Oh, I will tweet out a link here shortly. Incredible stuff here. Drew, how's it going?
Stu, it's going well, sir. Appreciate you having me back on. And yeah, this one was... It even caught me off guard, right? I think you and I have discussed plenty about the media, the things that they're willing to do. And this one, I will say it floored me a little bit.
It really is incredible. All right, take me back to 2019, 2020. Some news breaks about what is going on with Chinese propaganda and their efforts here in the United States. Rewind a little bit and remind people about what happened.
That's right. Yeah. So it was actually the Free Beacon really led the way on a number of scoops, as well as the Daily Caller, that started to report out, like you said, in that time period around 2019, 2020, that outlets had been receiving large amounts of money. U.S. media outlets had been receiving a lot of money from another outlet called China Daily, which is a mouthpiece for the Chinese Communist Party. It's fully owned and operated by the CCP. And so you started to see some outlets backpedal a little, particularly after 2021, when the Free Beacon had a really big scoop about all of these outlets who were taking millions and millions of dollars from China Daily, and they were getting paid to run Chinese propaganda. It was to include puff pieces about the Chinese regime, to make Xi look good, and to talk up U.S.-China relations in ways that weren't actually, weren't connected to the facts at all. And so you had a bunch of places, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, who severed their connections with China Daily at that time. But I went back through some FARA reporting, the federal agents' requirements for lobbyists, international lobbyists who give money in the United States. And I noticed that a number of outlets were still taking that money even after 2021.
Yeah, this is interesting. And talk about the form of this here, because it wasn't exactly that they were writing articles in these newspapers. It was sort of like the stuff you see on certain websites that look like they're news stories, but then they're actually not, right?
Exactly right. And so I do think one of the components of this that's really interesting is that the material was presented by China Daily. They're kind of advertorials, right? There was no editorial oversight from any of these outlets. And one outlet in particular, Time Magazine, right, a famous storied U.S. publication, took over $3.5 million since 2021 to allow China Daily to have something called China Watch, which is a segment on Time Magazine's website that runs these advertorials that really just look like bad news articles under the Time Magazine logo.
It's incredible. Like, I mean, it's incredible that this happened at all. But as you point out, it happens. Millions and millions of dollars change hands. And it's two major institutions. You mentioned Time. You mentioned the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. Like, a lot of big publications are taking this money. But, the gig is up, right? Like, basically, they get caught.
You would think. They
get caught, and, like, of course, they're all going to stop taking the Chinese propaganda money. Right, Drew?
You would think, right? Because this was also the time when disinformation and misinformation was, and the dangers of online conspiracy theories were really kind of having their heyday, right? This is post-2020 election. You've got all of these different places and outlets who are hyper-focused on the threat of disinformation. So you would think the idea that not just the kind of, call it nuanced disinformation, would raise the heckles of media outlets, but straight propaganda from our geopolitical nemesis in China being printed underneath their logos to being distributed to their readership. And they're taking a ton of money to do this.
And I keep thinking of myself, like, there has to be now. There were a couple of examples you did come up with here. I think it was New York Times was one of them that did actually stop after this initial batch of propaganda that was caught by the Washington Free Beacon and others.
That's right. Yeah. And so the New York Times had put out, they told the Free Beacon back after, you know, we had reported that they had been taking millions of dollars from the CCP. They said, oh, we've changed our policies and we're no longer accepting state contributions. So they worked really hard to be kind of evasive about it, right? The Washington Post did something kind of similar where they didn't even put out a statement. They didn't say, oh, we're not gonna interact with China Daily anymore. They just stopped taking the money. And Wall Street Journal, I think they had a little bit more of a brouhaha internally. And so you saw them come out with a statement saying, okay, we're not gonna do it anymore. But again, you have all of these outlets that even after all of that, even after all the criticism and the light being shown on the really duplicitous thing they were doing, they continued anyway.
Yeah, your story goes through all of these publications that continue to take money, even as recently as October 2023, mm-hmm. Time, Los Angeles Times, the Boston Globe, the Chicago Tribune. I mean, these are not like, you know, just these are institutions in our media. These are the places you're supposed to be able to go to get real information. And I think we would both have some doubts about whether that's the direction to go in a lot of instances. Fair. But I mean, they are the people, too, that have been yelling at us constantly about disinformation. If you happen to be a conservative, if you happen to have some heterodox beliefs, you are mm-hmm. constantly being labeled with this misinformation stamp. At the same time, millions of dollars are flowing to these same publications to print propaganda from the Chinese government.
That's exactly it, Stu. And it's, you know, I think one of the things that was really jarring for me as I was going through and writing about this is one of the things a lot of the outlets talked about very explicitly is the dangers of disinformation around the election, right? And so it was in previous elections and leading up to 2024. All of these publications are continuing to take money from the Chinese Communist Party to print propaganda leading into the 2024 election, even as U.S. officials are increasingly warning that China is going to be attempting to mess with our election, right? This is part of a global disinformation campaign that they're running. They have found soft targets in U.S. media, and the same U.S. media who is sitting there shrieking about the dangers of disinformation because they don't like what Blaze or Daily Wire or Free Beacon or anyone else is reporting is taking on propaganda instead. It's like I said, Stu, it's jarring.
You have all the details in your story, and it's great, and people should definitely go and read it. Let me give you a couple of highlights here. This is according to their latest filings, $3.55 million to Time, $1.84 million to the Los Angeles Times, $478,000 to the Boston Globe, $419,000 to the Houston Chronicle, $390,000 to Seattle Times, and $183,000 to the Chicago Tribune. And like, this is not even just sometimes stories. They're complete inserts into the paper that have all sorts of BS in them. And yet these companies are like, you know, let's just go for it. I mean,
why not?
Yeah. I mean, I could come up with some reasons for why not, but apparently they couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Sue, it's interesting because they do get some backlash and pressure from their readership on these sorts of things, right? If you go through their change.org petitions about this, they're, you know, on online discussion boards, you see people who are like, why am I getting this Chinese propaganda as an insert mail to me? And those are the ones who notice. Unfortunately, there's probably a lot of people who don't necessarily notice. But you're right about these inserts, and it's the thing, though, that I think is actually even worse than the inserts is what Time Magazine is doing, right? The $3.5 million you talked about that they've taken, that's to house all of this online where any unsuspecting person can go through and click on them, where someone can send you a link from time.com that links to Chinese propaganda. It's like, to me, that's the, it's, if if there were any actual concern about the dangers of disinformation, particularly for hostile online or hostile foreign powers, it is unthinkable that someone like Time Magazine would still allow something like that to happen under their banner.
Yeah, it's a great point because, you know, when you talk about the dangers of disinformation, and believe me, there are dangers of disinformation. This is a real problem, especially on the internet. But one of the ways you sort through that is you look to get information from trusted sources. And if someone sends you a link from time.com, I mean, I'm going to be a little skeptical of some of their stuff. But, you know, I think the average person's going to be like, oh, it's Time Magazine. I guess China really is all, you know, lollipops and unicorns. I mean, they are not only not taking the disinformation seriously, they're contributing to it.
Right. They're taking part in this. And you know, not only do these outlets, not only have they reported plenty about the dangers of disinformation, they've reported about China's global propaganda regime, right? They've talked about the fact that this is a system. Time Magazine wrote about how China is taking the long game approach in Central America using online disinformation. They're on your website, Time. Like they are there. Like they are doing this thing and using you as a conduit. Mm. And I think they recognize that a lot of people look to these legacy media outlets and they say, well, this is how I can separate fact from fiction, right? This is how I can suss out what's real and what's true and what isn't in this, you know, this complicated environment of facts that we live in. And I think the media have torched their own credibility on that point by doing things like this.
Let me give you one example, too, from your piece. This is from The Wall Street Journal. We all know about the Uyghur concentration camps. Well, they included propaganda from the Chinese government that called the re-education camps a, quote, law-based campaign of de-radicalization. I mean, that is it's so incredibly offensive that they allow that. Yep. They said they reviewed this ad, and I guess it passed muster for them. That's incredible.
It really is, you know, because I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's a bottom on any of this material, right? Any of these advertorials or ads that they put up, there's I can't imagine there is much of anything that they're willing to say no to if whitewashing genocide is something that's going to make it through.
Last one for you here, because I think there's an honest and kind of basic question to be asked here is, like, why? Like, why would someone, you know, the New York Times is very successful, you know, some of these other companies less so. But why would they go through the trouble of taking this and taking the beating from their audience? Sure, you know, $1 million, hundreds of thousands of dollars here and there makes a difference. But you'd think these giant corporations wouldn't need to stoop to this level. Is it just, you know, desperation for the state of the media because these companies are in the midst of failing? Why would they take this money?
I think that's probably right, Stu. You know, I think that you've seen at a lot of these publications, you've seen pretty massive layoffs over the last few years. They're doing a lot to try and cut from their budgets. And they're trying to gather cash, I think, wherever they kind of can. And so I think they probably feel like they're not in a position where they can have a high and clean moral standard when it comes to something like accepting propaganda, because they've got to balance their bottom line. And I think it should be troubling and threatening to anyone who reads any of these publications that this is the extent to which they're willing to fudge the truth in order to make ends meet.
Well, I will say, for anyone in the media out there watching, justifying genocide, probably not worth your bottom line. Going to throw that out there. Think about that one maybe as an eternal question a little bit. Drew Holden, he is from the Washington Free Beacon, and his piece is called Some of the Same News Outlets Warning About Disinformation Are Taking Millions to Print Chinese Propaganda. Make sure to check it out, along with all of Drew's great work. Drew, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Pleasure's mine, sir. Thanks for having me.
So much we're not going to be able to get to in depth today, but we'll do it during the week. The Supreme Court, of course, did rule that states cannot drop Trump from the ballot. No surprise there. The only surprise really was the 9-0 ruling, meaning you got Sotomayor on board. I'm not even surprised at Ketanji Brown Jackson, honestly. It was such an obvious ruling. But to get Sotomayor is a big thing. There are some issues with their ruling and their concurring opinions. We can get into that maybe later this week. In other legal news, all of our employees are getting arrested. Steve Baker, journalist advocate or advocacy journalist? This is a good piece written by Jonathan Turley, who goes through, wait a minute, I thought you could be an advocacy journalist. I thought that was the thing we all were supposed to be now. And now they're acting like Steve Baker is not a journalist. He was on the radio show today. I encourage you to go back and listen to the interview. Talked a little bit again with Megyn Kelly about this today. It's a really important story, and we do appreciate it. So many of you have come to the table to support Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu if you want to join in. The reason why I bring that up is because, look, you know, Steve has someone wrote to us, some journalists, like, how are you going to fire this guy? This guy's job is as safe as it'll ever be because he's fighting for the truth and he's right on this. The government is actually trying to screw him. No way is he going to get fired for this. He's trying to stand up for what's true, and that's really, really important. And finally, we're dropping now food aid, Gaza food aid from the sky. I heard a podcast this morning. They're like, oh, well, why are they dropping food aid? Why don't they just drive it in? I don't know. Have you missed the news lately? When they drive it in, they get surrounded and ransacked, and then a bunch of people wind up dead. So that's probably why they're airdropping it now. There's been a lot going on with the Hamas and Israel situation. And up next, we're going to take an exclusive look at the matchup of the century, told from the point of view of a couple of class act mainstream media sportscasters. It's Israel versus Hamas, battle of the century, or many centuries. It's coming up in just a minute. When you got to buy or sell a home, no matter where you are in the country, you got to have realestateagentsitrust.com on your side. This is a company started by our own Glenn Beck. He started it a long time ago because he was tired of, you know, dealing with incompetent real estate agents. That's basically the story. And he got upset about it and he decided to do something about it. It's a lot of work. It can be really confusing buying and selling a home, but you got to have somebody on your side that knows the ropes, that knows the rules of the game. The agents with realestateagentsitrust.com work with the best in your area. They're top sellers and they know the lay of the land, the best practices to get you and your family where you need to go, whether it's across the street or across the country. Most of these agents are also fans of this show, the radio show, The Blaze. So you'll have something to talk about for sure. Starting out, do yourself a favor and check them out today. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. I mean, the name kind of says it all. You know what it is just by saying the name, realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out now, a free service to you, realestateagentsitrust.com. Hi, everybody. I'm Ted Stanley, along with Gary Veckers. And welcome to Al Jazeera Sports coverage of the matchup of the week. This time, the terrorist state of Israel takes on crowd favorite Hamas. Gary, can you tell us what's going on with Hamas's lineup?
Absolutely, Ted. Hamas is anchored by the outstanding efforts of Ahmed Alaboudi, who will do absolutely anything to win. He'll fire rockets from hospitals, schools, and last season, he even installed a bomb inside a child in an attempt to blow up the first responders who came in to save him. Amazing ingenuity. Hamas, of course, one of the only teams in the world that is able to start a defensive war.
Wow, local boys done good. On the other side of things, we have the occupying nation of Israel.
That's right, Ted. These evil bastards are best known for their resistance to the will of Allah. As the Hamas coaches have told us multiple times, Allah simply wants to make the world a better, safer place by eliminating all the Jews from it.
Sounds like a reasonable request.
It sure is, Ted.
All right, we're just a few moments away from the start of this contest. And oh my, wow, look at this. It seems like Hamas has once again started firing rockets early before the scheduled start of this contest.
Early to bed, early to rise, Ted. Hamas believes in taking the initiative to fire rockets at Israel long before any active battle begins. Israel tries to spin these efforts as an unwarranted attack on civilians. But since when is it a crime to get to your job and start work early?
I can't answer that. What a shifty bunch these Jews are. I'll tell you that. All right, here's another rocket fired by Hamas, and this seemingly has destroyed a home for elderly disabled widows, which is clearly a legitimate military target filled with vampire spies.
Interesting story about Jews, Ted. For thousands of years, Jews have enjoyed the time-honored tradition of consuming matzah. Ah. It's made with ingredients like barley, spelt, rye, and for a little extra flavor, a dash of Christian or Muslim blood.
Hmm, sounds delicious. More rockets now continue to fire on Israel. Oh, wow. And while Hamas is the one firing them, you have to believe that none of this would happen if it weren't for the Jews being so incredibly Jewish.
That's right, Ted. Interesting story about those Jews. Do you know none of them died in the 9/11 attacks because they were all called beforehand and warned not to go to work that day?
And would you say the Jews were responsible for the 9/11 attacks?
Absolutely. And of course, Republicans too.
Oh wow, another rocket has landed on its target. What an amazing battle. This just looks like that one destroyed another well-known Israeli military target. Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Interesting story about Chuck E. Cheese, Ted. You know, together with the Jews, he controls the world's banking systems and Hollywood. It's mostly the Jews, though.
Wait a minute. Oh, wow, something is happening here. What is Israel doing? This is unbelievable. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Israel has fired back.
This is a typical disgusting display, Ted. After only being hit by 3,200 rockets in the last 4 minutes, Israel has brutally oppressed their opponents by using military force to destroy a Hamas stronghold.
Truly revolting, Gary. Innocent men and women killed, their houses destroyed, all their possessions destroyed as well, including their rocket launchers and brand new suicide belts.
The complete disregard for the lives of these innocent people is absolutely incredible, Ted. The owner of that home, Muhammad Jihad, was well-liked around town. You know, he enjoyed the television show Mike and Molly. He enjoyed training on jungle gyms and reading books by and about Germans. I mean, a lovable guy. And of course, his real passion was firing freedom rockets at legitimate military targets in Israel, like the Red Cross.
A well-known front for Jewish and Christian world domination. Let's go down to sideline reporter Del Jackson now for an update. Go ahead, Del.
What in the heck is going on? I'm Del Jackson. After this brutal attack on Hamas, one thing rings true. There wouldn't be a Jewish problem if it weren't for all those Jews. Back to you, Ted and Gary.
Before you go, Del, any word on the injuries of those poor, innocent freedom fighters? Oh, no. Oh,
no.
Oh, wow. It looks like Del Jackson has been beheaded by those poor, innocent freedom fighters. I tried to remind him to wrap his neck in leather for these interviews.
I always said to Del he'd lose his head if it wasn't attached.
Oh, and so he has. Oh. And so he has. Absolutely. Let's look at tonight's stats. Hamas has fired 4,900 rockets, and Israel has hatefully blocked many of them with the racist Iron Dome.
After all the hard work these innocent people have put into building the rockets and launchers, that's just despicable, Ted.
It truly is, not to mention Israel's disproportional response. How dare they fire back?
When will we see an end to all of this Israeli-Jewish aggression?
Well, when they convert to Islam, pay the tax or die, Ted. It's really just that simple.
You know, it's so gracious of Hamas to give them all these choices.
It really is. It really is. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by Mike and Molly, Tuesday nights on CBS. From the West Bank, good night, everybody. Let me tell you about Jason Whitlock's new event. It's called the Fearless Army Roll Call 2.0. It is brought to you this year by Preborn, their awesome organization. It's an all-day event in Nashville, Tennessee on June 1st, and it will bring together men under a united banner of godliness and responsibility. Does that sound like anything that's going on in the country these days? And not really. The conference, you'll hear speeches from Jason and several special guests, and you'll have a great time, I think, as well. Plus, you will have your heart and mind filled with messages that God wants you to hear and share fellowship with your fellow Christians. Go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com. Reserve your spot today. And that is, of course, sponsored by Preborn. Really important stuff there. Now, less important is probably our investigation of Corinne Jean-Pierre. Actually, I think it's the most important thing we've ever done. You want to talk about real journalism? Forget Steve Baker. Who's he? Hey, so what? He's getting arrested for his cause. What about us? Okay, what about our sacrifices? Go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica now. It's out today, a brand new investigation. This is, I think you're really going to like it, the Corinne Jean-Pierre hidden scandal It is amazing. And I'm just going to leave it at that. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Subscribe, follow the show. We'll see you tomorrow.